articles of faith. Well, I know, to be honest with you, we preached through some of this, most of this last week that we're on, but I want to go through this and touch the scriptures there that we want to read in it. We're in the 14th article of faith, which is of baptism and of Lord's Supper. And we're going to go through this, if nothing else, and just read the scriptures. It goes along, like I say, I know we covered a lot of this last week there, but we didn't particularly go through it with the reading of the article here. But in the 14th article of faith, of baptism in the Lord's Supper, it says, "We believe that the Christian baptism is the immersion in water of a believer into the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost, who show forth in a solemn and beautiful emblem our faith in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior, with its effect in our death to sin and resurrection to a new life. That it is prerequisite to the privileges of a church relation and to the Lord's Supper, in which the members of the church, by the sacred use of bread and wine, are to commemorate together the dying love of Christ, preceded always by solemn self-examination." And we'll turn over to Acts in the 8th chapter and read a little bit of scripture there. In the first part of this, where it's talking, says, "We believe that the Christian baptism is the immersion in water of a believer." And we'll read over here in Acts 8th chapter, in about the 36th verse. And like I say, I know we covered a lot of this last Wednesday but we want to read over this in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, 36th verse. It says, and this is when Philip had went down to the and talked to the Ethiopian eunuch here, and he said, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, in that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." And you read that, and it talks about the immersion. And I know I've preached a little before about the immersion. And to be immersed in something, Darrell, that's to get covered in it. That's to go fully into it. When Philip came to this eunuch, we know that this man was pondering on the scriptures and trying to figure out and how he could understand it. And the Lord provided and sent a man of God by his way to help him understand these things. And when he understood it, he come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and believed on it. And after that point, as we've read before, after that point, he was qualified for baptism. And he said, what doth hinder me from being baptized? He says, we've got water here. And he said, well, do you believe? And when he confessed that right there, Philip said, so there's nothing to hinder this. And he took him to the water. And I like the way that the scripture puts that there. He said that, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. It don't sound like Philip went down there and got him a handful and throwed it on him, does it? No, they went down into the water. And that's where that immersion comes in. And it's funny that we're talking about this. I was telling you about getting to meet that man down in the land room today, and we actually got to talk about some of this stuff. He brought it up, and we got to talking about this, and I told him I'm thankful that I didn't just get a little drop of Jesus here and there on me. I got fully immersed in this. And when I got saved, I didn't just get bits and pieces of the Lord and get bits and pieces of the Spirit. I got fully immersed in it. And that happens during baptism is the outward showing of what truly happened in your rebirth. And as we get on into it here, we'll read another scripture that talks about coming under the newness of life. And when I got baptized, it was new to me. When I come up from salvation, everything was different. I looked different. You could see Jesus all over me. And when we get baptized, just like when Philip and this eunuch went down there into that water, and when he took him down into that water, he come up and he was, you could tell he'd been nipped in something. You could tell that it was all over him. And that's that way I believe it is when we get born again. You're going to see Jesus on you. And that's what the church believes in our faith in baptism. This is that outward showing. And if you're doing it any other way, you do it before your salvation, then you're just getting wet because you've never experienced the belief part of it. And that's what this comes to, is believers. Baptized believers into the church. And I'm thankful that the Lord set it up the way He did. But we'll read on. It goes on to say, immersion in water of a believer into the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Ghost. And we'll turn over to Matthew, the 28th chapter. About the 19th and 20th verse. Maybe read the 18th there just a little bit with it here. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And you may wonder sometimes, you know, when we do that in baptism, it's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's scriptural. This is the way the Lord said to baptize one another in His name and to do things. And it's not just a form. This is part of the way the Lord said to do it. And He told us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And the reason we do things in church is not just a frivolous something that we come up with. He said to teach them what I've commanded you. And if we go about things in any different way, then we're getting outside of what God commanded of the church. And we can't do that. We've got to stay with what the book says. We've got to stay with the way that God set this up. The church is set up in the manner it is for reasons. And it's according to the Word of God. I'm glad it's that way, because to be totally honest with you, salvation's set up in a way that we have to come as a believer. We have to come through conviction. We have to come through the preached word of God. We have to come through faith to receive the grace of God. God's got things set up in that manner to where there's no question. It's all decent. It's all in order. And we can receive the Holy Ghost through those ways. We can receive the Spirit of God through, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? We're saved. We're begotten by the Word. The Lord's got ways everything set up to be done, and it's for a reason and a purpose. It's for salvation to be gained. In the same way He sets His church up in a certain order, Josh, it's for a reason that everything's done decently and in order. That the church can get in one mind with God to be able to win souls in the right manner, and things, there's no confusion. I just to be honest with you, there's a lot of churches today that are just going through a lot of form and a lot of fashion, and they're baptizing everybody, calling them a Christian. They're bringing them in, and there's nothing really taught about salvation. I've said it many a time. You talk to a lot of people, and you can ask them about their salvation, Mike, and they'll say, "Yeah, I was baptized down here." Well, tell me about when you got saved. They've not got a salvation story. They've not got a testimony of faith in their life. It's just that somebody's took them in and told them they could be members, and then took them down and baptized them some words and called them a Christian. That's not the way this was set up. You can follow the story of that Ethiopian eunuch right there, and you see the plan of salvation. That eunuch went down to worship, and when he went down to worship, he got something went to troubling his heart. Then he got to pondering on the Scripture. The Word of God came to him, and it caused something to change in his life. It got to dealing with him, and it got to working with him, and he got to trying to figure it out. And when he got to trying to figure it out, the Lord sent somebody along his way again to help him understand. And when he gained an understanding of what he needed to do to find salvation, he became a believer, and he gave his heart to the Lord. Then he was baptized into the church and became a part of it. That's the way the Lord set this up in our life. And it works. To do it in any other way don't work. A lot of these places are deceiving people. And they're causing them to go through life with a misunderstanding of what it takes to get to heaven. I don't want that here. You don't want that here. We want the truth. We want people to understand what this is all about. I thank the Lord that He lays it out in His Word and instructs us in the manner we should go with this. We'll read on. It says, and for what all of those, I'm going to back up and I want to read all this to go right into the next part here. It says, we believe that the Christian baptism is the immersion of water of a believer into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now listen, to show forth in a solemn and beautiful emblem our faith in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior, with its effect in our death to sin and resurrection to a new life. And understand that it's to show something in your life. And to show forth in a solemn and beautiful emblem. And you remember, I think I told you last week, an emblem is something that which represents another thing in its predominant qualities. But it's to show forth an emblem is something to show something forth and to represent something in your life. And that's what baptism is. It's not the salvation. But it's an emblem, a beautiful emblem. Solemn. That's a serious moment. It's not to go down there and go swimming, Mike. It's not to go down there and just goof off. This is solemn. It's serious. It's something that's being done to represent salvation in a man's life. in a beautiful emblem.
Something to represent what truly happens when you gain the newness of life through salvation.
And that's what it's to do, to show that forth.
So if it happens before salvation, what are you showing? Nothing.
But after salvation, you show forth that beautiful emblem. Here's the old man buried. I've died with Christ and resurrected unto newness. That's what it is. And I want that to truly get understood.
Baptism is took very lightly anymore. It is not your salvation, but it is a solid, that's serious, emblem
of that beautiful thing that took place in your life. And I know I use him, he may get tired of me using him as an example, but he's the
newest Christians in our church.
But Jay, when we took you down to baptize you, he wasn't wanting to try to get in front of everybody, but he said, well, if you don't want to go first, I will.
From the moment the boy got saved, he was excited about his baptism. Why?
Because he wanted to show the world. He was ready for the world to see. I got saved, and I'm not ashamed to go down here to this water.
That beautiful, solemn emblem is represented in his life.
It didn't save him. He got that first. But it represented what happened in this altar that night. That's what our baptism is.
That's what our faith,
that's what this church is established on, is this right here in our faith of the baptism and of the Lord's Supper. And I'm glad, and let's read the scripture. Let's go over to Romans, the sixth chapter of Romans. About the fourth verse. But I'm going to back up and just read some more with this on down and start in the first there. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And just like in that, there again, just showing forth that in our life. And when we're baptized into him spiritually, we're baptized into a newness of life. And I got to thinking on that scripture this evening a little bit. And if you can just truly see the beauty that comes out of that fourth verse right there. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. And like as Christ was risen up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. You realize what he conquered on that day for us when he was buried and resurrected. And then think about that. What gets you excited, Isaac, in that song you just sang a while ago? Because you've got a newness of life. What gets us excited when we realize in this life that our hope is not in this world? Then we can rejoice in like what we said a while ago, in not what we're going through, but where we're going to. When we can go through the trials of this life and realize we've got a hope. Jesus Christ came, walked in this life in the natural flesh of man, suffered,
beyond what me and you could ever understand, went through more trials, more temptations, more things, than, and persecutions and betrayals and all that, than what we will ever understand. And he walked through that with one thing in sight. To give his life as a supreme sacrifice unto God for me and you. And through all the burdens in the garden, the prayers that he prayed and the things that he carried, the tears that was shed, the agony that he prayed in till his sweat became as great drops of blood, he was carrying more than me and you could ever realize. And through that, can you imagine there when he suffered in agony and on the cross and all those things, and then when he went to the grave and then was able to resurrect in the newness of life in Christ himself. Laid aside what had that flesh bound, which was dead, and overcame it. That's what me and you gets to walk in because of Him. That's the newness of life. That's salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're buried with Him in death. He took our death and buried it Himself. And gave us life. That's what our baptism is. We're just showing it to the world. We show it in our walk every day. We show it in our love unto God. But this right here is something that God puts forth as a requirement unto us to be part of the natural church. Is that outward showing, that emblem before the world, to be part of His natural church in this life. And that's what we're getting into, is it being a prerequisite. If I don't butcher the word, a prerequisite. Something that is required beforehand. And we already see salvation is required before baptism. Baptism is required before church membership. In that order. But we'll move on. Like I say, I know I covered a lot of this maybe last week in the message Wednesday night, but I wanted to go back through it again. And it says that is prerequisite to the privileges of a church relation and to the Lord's Supper, and we'll read over in the Acts 2nd chapter. In the 41st and the 42nd verses there. It says, then they that gladly received his words were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And there again, that's just setting forth in order the way the church was set up. And want us to understand through that, as it speaks of the prerequisite part of this, the salvation is the prerequisite unto the baptism and the church membership. And there is, and I wanted to touch on this tonight, there is some churches that practice Only the Lord's Supper to their members, to their particular members. They have a closed communion. That is not something that we generally practice. It's an open communion unto the born-again children of God. That is the prerequisite to be able to take part in the Lord's Supper and these things. But there is churches that have closed communion only to their members. But that's not something that we as a church generally ever practice. But through this, the salvation has to take part before that you can have part in the communion. Before you can truly take part of the bread and of the cup
and to be able to appreciate what that truly represents. And then we get on over into the examination part of this. But there again, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship. And I want to touch right there.
When you're born again, then you become part of the church. They continue steadfastly.
A member of the church or to be steadfast. If you're truly born again and you have become part of the church, and we enter into this covenant, we ought to be here when we're supposed to be. We ought to pray for the church like we should. We should uphold it in our tithes and our offerings. And we should be a part of it steadfastly. Not once a month. Not once every 2 weeks. It's steadfastly. They continued in these doctrines. And the breaking of the bread.
And when we have our fifth Sunday communion, you ought to be here. When we have our services,
you want to take part in that with the church. It's an important service. And it holds great seriousness. And there again, within that's another beautiful emblem that we're doing. In the baptism is the outward showing of that salvation. And in the breaking of the bread, remembering what Christ done for us. Even as Christians, you can read through the Word of God, and God
commands us to remember, and that for our pure minds to be stirred up sometimes.
And it's important, he tells us, as oft as we do them things, to do them in remembrance of Him. And when we partake of that bread, it ought to stir something down in our heart. What Christ gave for us.
What Christ done for us. His body, His blood.
We were to continue steadfastly in that. Because He said, as oft as you do. We have set aside fifth Sundays to do those things. And I bet you some
churches that probably have never had communion, or some that ain't had in years.
But it's part of the ordinances of the church. And it's something to be done and put very seriously. As oft as you do these things, do them in remembrance of me.
It's wrote right here. And I wonder how many times
does it take place in a lot of churches? A lot of people say it's just a religious ceremony, but it's required in the Word of God. It's required in the way that this particular church is set up under these articles of faith. It's something that's to be carried out.
It's not just a suggestion. It's part of who we are and what we believe.
But I'll go on. It says on down, it says, in which the members of the church, by the sacred use of bread and wine, are to commemorate together the dying love of Christ. And we'll go over to 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. Here again, it's just backing up what the article says there in the 26th verse. It says, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. And there again, that's just what we were just talking about. When we do that, in that solemn ceremony, we're just showing forth the Lord's death until He comes. And then it says on through this here, it says, preceded always by solemn self-examination. And you read on down in the 28th verse. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And then I'll read on too. It says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But there again, that's just the scriptures that's backing up the truth and the our faith in the baptism and of the Lord's Supper. These things are not just a tradition. These things are not just, and I've told you, I've grown up in foot washings. It's not something that's in these articles of faith. But I still believe in that. We've never had foot washing here at this church since I've been here. But I'm just telling you, it's scriptural. The Lord got down, He washed feet. And I'm telling you, I've been in some of the sweetest services you've ever been in your life. Getting down and humbling yourself before a brother. It's always been done decent and in order. It's been the women do their foot washing and the men do their foot washing. And I know to this world that sounds ridiculous. I ain't getting down touching somebody's feet. Well, I'm going to tell you, when you humble and get washed, you get down there in the Spirit of the Lord, that'll nothing ever touch you in any other way. That's the sweetest services you'll ever be through. But there again, we've not never observed that part of it here at the church. But these things here are set down as ordinances of our church. And it's to be recognized. And youngins, right down to you young people in this church, Josh, Jay, some of you, Audrey, all these, Savannah, Isaac, when you go down through your life, don't let these things fail. Don't let these things fall to the wayside and say, well, that's not a very important part. Stay with the truth. Stay with the way God established it, because there's purposes in it. There's reasons for it. Don't let these things fail. Because we see in our newer age of church worship, churches don't want to be affiliated with any particular doctrine or any particular manners. It's just a free for all down at the house of God. There's no structure to it. Anything comes, anything goes. And I don't want to say nothing to. It's like I've ran into lots of different people. And on Josh Day, Mark, these brothers was over there, and they know I'm a Christian. I worked around them before. It's for the job superintendents that I've been, and over there cussing this and that, and the next. And then they realized that I was standing there, and they apologized. And I told them I appreciated them for recognizing it and everything like that. And then we go on and get to talking a little bit, and I got to say, do you ever go to church anywhere? And then he went and he named off, yeah, here's where I go, down there with old brother so-and-so. And it's one of the churches. It's one of the churches that has done away with any affiliation, done away with any kind of structure, done away with all the things. And you know what else they've done away with? Conviction. They've done away with spiritual drawing. They've done away with a whole lot more than just because he told us in this to continue steadfastly in these doctrines. And in the breaking of the bread. There's a reason that God's got doctrine. There's a reason that He's got things that He told us to stay steadfast to. You go to breaking ties with these things, and then it's just whatever. But we've got to have a structure. And that's why I'm glad this church is established on these articles of faith. These things we've been going through, and I know it's took us a while, and we've still got some more to go. But it's important that we remind ourselves, and we've everyone got a copy of it. Sometimes sit down with just yourself and the Lord and go through them again. Remind ourselves of what we've entered into, and reassure yourself of what your faith is and why you believe it. That it's backed up with Scripture. And more than that, it's backed up with the Spirit of God. He'll bear witness unto the things that He's commanded. And He'll work in the things that He's commanded. He won't work in nothing else. But that's what the Lord's laid on her heart. And like I say, I appreciate these articles. I appreciate the Lord and thankful for us being able to be going over these things. But